definitely an Indian to see Malchus. Yeah, the Gemara says in Brochus, there's definitely an Indian to see Malchus.
But how much effort do, how far do you have to go? How much effort do you have to go to see her?
You don't have to. But the Gemara does speak about, I forgot now the Amorim. Anybody learned Brochus recently? He was one of the Amorim. He was blind. Blind. First pay. Forgot which pay. He was blind. And he went. And the Gemara says, fascinating Gemara. He was blind. And they schlepped him to see the king going past. So they would want to trick him. And they said they would trick him. So the Gemara says that they said, "Oh, the king is here. The king is here. He's going past." And I said, "No, no, no. I can. I know the king is not going past." And then there was another more royal chariot going past. And he said, "Oh, the king is here. The king is here." I said, "No, no, no. The king is not past." And he was blind. And then after he mentions, "Oh, now the king is coming." And then now the king is coming. And he said, "Attack her." And he stood up and he made the bracha. So first of all, you can see that you can say the bracha when you're blind. A person who's blind can say the bracha. Interesting. And so, how did he know that the king is going past? So he answered, he said, because it's a pasuk in Melachim that Kol Demama Doko, is that when the king is actually genuine royalty is quiet and calm. When they're cheering and everything, that can't be the king. When actually the king goes past, it's going to be calm and quiet and silent because of respect. And he said, that sense that it was quiet and calm, it was a certain electrifying feeling of fear. Of, yeah, and he said, that's why I sense that the king is going past, and despite his blindness. Yeah. Yeah, we have to remember this Gemara when it comes to Oshana. We have to remember this Gemara. It's like, I think it through a little bit. Yeah. Okay. Good. We're learning Simon Shin Mem Hei, and tonight we'll be learning Sif Tezvov, Tezain, and Yuzain. Let us define a little bit more about the Rishus Yochid and some examples of Carmelis. And this is the following case. Pais she'en toicha asoro. Small house. Bit of a nebuchadnezzar house. And it's less than 10 tefachim high. So it's pretty small. It's 9 tefachim. But the ceiling itself is 1 tefach. So pais she'en toicha asoro. The internal, the inside of the house is less than 10 tefachim. Fekurio im ashlim ola asoro. But the actual ceiling is a tefach thick. So v'yesh bo ya'bo la'bo, in the inside of it, the space inside the walls, is 4 and 4 tefachim. So what's going to be the halacha of this scenario? Think of it. You've got the actual domain, the space, the air area of the house is 4 and 4, which is good. That makes a shiyachin. But normally a shiyachin needs to be at least 10 tefachim. This isn't, because the air space of this building is only 9. Yes, it is true, the ceiling is an additional tefach, but that's not the airspace. So what's the halach of this building? Yeah? Again? You're saying that, yeah, so that's something which is, okay, so the answer is no, this won't be a Rishus Yochid. The difference to a table is, something which is removable. It doesn't actually, when we talk about, you're right, air space might not be accurate. The point is, you haven't got walls which are really 10 tefachim high, because you hit the ceiling. So you've got 9, the height of the Rishus Yochid is really only 9 tefachim. So the airspace, I mean, in that way, airspace, you're right, if you put chairs there and tables, that's not going to take away from the airspace. Okay, so the halach is as follows. The inside is karmelis. It's second osh tiochit. Why? Because it's only 9 tefachim. You haven't got walls around it of 10 tefachim. But on top of it is tiochit. Remember, if you've got that, I wish I had a tissue box. Tissue box will do the trick. No? Yeah, that's perfect. Oh, yeah, that's even better. Even better. Oh, that's brilliant. Look at that. That is amazing. Very good. Oh, very good. Perfect. Okay. So imagine you've got this. So this is 9 tefachim, the sides. The walls are 9 tefachim. And the roof, which we're going to pretend This is one tefach. The roof, the ceiling is one tefach. So the inside, we said, is not Rishus Yochid. It's only a kamenis because you have the walls on 9 tefachim high. But considering the fact that you've got a ceiling now, so what happens now is that the ceiling is looked at an area. This is 4 and 4 tefachim, and plus the area on top now is going to be Rishus Yochid. Why is Rishus Yochid? Because the way it works is that the walls continue; they will move up. From all sides, they will go up. You can't see them and you can't feel them. But yes, the walls do continue to go up on all four sides. And therefore, you've got 10, this is 10 tefachim, this is 10 tefachim, this is 10 tefachim, this is 10 tefachim. Remember, the ceiling itself is a tefach, so you've got 10 tefachim. You go up, so the ceiling, the roof now, if somebody is on top of the roof, he's got a shtiochet. And therefore, you'll have to carry on the roof. Make sense? I might need it still. Yesh ba'abolabo, toichoi kamalis, the inside of this building is a kamalis, v'agabu rishus yochid, and on top of it is rishus yochid. V'im choi kik ba'abolabo. What happens if you dig now, in this, if you have this here now, and so we said it's only 9 tefachim. But now, in the bottom, over here, on the bottom, I dig. And I make a hole, which is 4 and 4 tefachim, and then it's 1 tefach down. So I've actually made a hole on the floor. What would you say now? It will be 10 tefachim, that's right. Now I've got roof of, yeah, I've got now walls of 10 tefachim. With how much solid wall you don't really need. It could be 5 and 5. It could be 5 tefachim on the side and 5 tefachim down. You've made a hole now, 5 tefachim. Let's see what he finishes. And if you made a hole, as long as it's 4 and 4 tefachim, even in the middle of the house, even if it's distanced from the walls, nasei kula rishus yochid, all things become rishus yochid, because you've got ultimately an additional tefach down. And once you've got this tefach down, you've got now 9 on the side, 9 on the side, 1 tefach mid floor, 9 plus 1 is 10. And therefore you now have made a hole inside area from a kambas into rishus yochid. This is unlike a sukkah. When it comes to a sukkah, you may remember in Masech HaSukkah in the first page, there's a discussion where the sukkah might not work. But when it comes to Rishus Yochid, it does work. Siv Tezayin. Gag haboilet ala mechitzois habayis bein enshen hamechitzois habayis nikoris lo'emid ala gag. If you've got a gag, haboilet ala mechitzois, you've got a roof that, if you are on the roof, you cannot see what's on the side because it is further, it extends further. So imagine it goes over here further than the actual building. It goes on the side horizontally. It goes further away. So for somebody who stands on the roof, he cannot see what goes on underneath it. Hence, I'm starting against the design. A roof which is boilet, which extends over the mechitzas, habayis of the house, but in a way, that you cannot see the walls. Somebody stands on the ceiling, cannot see the walls on the side. This have a kamenis, becomes a kamenis. Even it's 4 and 4, the roof remains a kamenis. Why? Why are we saying that if there is over here, if it carries on like this, then it's the top also remains a kamenis and it's not Rishus Yochid? We said earlier that if it's exact, if it's precise, then the roof area becomes a Rishus Yochid. Very good. If it's boiled, not, why not?
It takes away the Rishus Yochid.
That's right. Very good. Because when it's a Rishus Yochid, we said, if it's like this, then it just continues, all the walls continue straight. And you're assuming that this is just four walls on the side. And therefore, the top, the roof is a Rishus Yochid. However, here that it's boiled, and there is that extension on all the sides, it's breaking it off. You cannot go further up. And therefore, it's not a Rishus Yochid. The roof is not a Rishus Yochid. Rather, it's a kamenis. Slight. Then no. So if it's three walls are still without protrusion, it's going to be fine because they've got three walls, which stays Rishis Yochid. Ve'im chaloin pasuach lo min habayis av Rishis Yochid, and if there is a window, then the whole thing becomes Rishis Yochid. Ve'chein zizin aboltim min hakoisel, any protrusion which are going out from the coastal, v'yishma abol abon, it's 4 and 4, have a kamenis, is a kamenis, elim ken chaloin habayis pasuach lohem. When you've got zizin aboltim min hakoisel, if you've got protrusion sticking out from the wall, and there are 4 and 4, they become kamenis in their own right. Unless there's a window which opens up on that, and then it will become choresh yochid, which is a discussion which we will still discuss in Mitzrayim in its right time. And finally, see if you zayin chore kamenis einom kam ke kamenis. If you've got halls of kamenis, this is again, it's connected to something which we'll discuss at a later point in Mitzrayim Hashem. But if you've got, say you've got a small alleyway, which is not defined as a Rishis Yochid, and there's a wall on the side. Alleyway, it's not a Rishis Rabbi, no Rishis Yochid, you've got a wall on the side, and there is, in that wall, there is a window. So the halacha is a hole. It doesn't have to be a window, it could be a hole. So the hole is not defined as a kamenis, and we don't need if you go on the rochbam, but you have to, depends. If they are smaller than 4 and 4, there will be a mokom ptur, and if they are 4 and 4, then they're going to be kamenis in their own right. So what we need to take out from this is that a choyre rishus yochid holds in the choyre kamenis, holes of the kamenis are not automatically becoming kamenis. But again, this is discussed in greater detail in later Simon Be'ez Hashem. Okay. I think now it's fine. Shkoy. Thank you very much.
Didn't have a hefty in between, so I can just be too much your brain.
Yeah, okay, Simon Shin Lamed Vav is Din Kibud HaBayis, is the halachas of sweeping the floor. My wife would find this very ironic that I speak about sweeping the floor. She would say, what do you know about it already? But yeah, there's a Simon about sweeping the floor of the house. And Davos Sheinu Mischaven and the halachas of Davos Sheinu Mischaven, which is a key concept in Hilchos Shabbos. Prior to seeing this, we're going to look at the Hakdoma, which is over here before Sif Aleph, which gives us a tremendous introduction to not only the Siman, but also to general concepts of Melechus Machshavas, and more precisely to this Malach over here. So, Akdim le Siman ze Hakdoma Ktzor, have you got it? It's like 5 lines or so, 6 lines, and we're going to have a bit of introduction to this simon. Vehi, and it is as follows. Bechoyresh, plowing. Have you got it? Bechoyresh. Choyresh hu echad melametes melavos melochas. Plowing is one of the 39 melochas. Vekemen, and since shekavonas achoyresh, the intention of somebody who's plowing, lerepuye ara, is to soften and to weaken the earth, the oz tov lezriya, because then it is good for zriya, for, yeah, very good. So what we are seeing over here, is that the definition of choyresh, of the meleches choyresh, is to prepare the earth for planting. That's the definition. So it's not necessarily plowing per se. When you plow, you're obviously softening, you're praying for planting seeds, but anything that you're doing to prepare the earth for planting seeds, anything that you're preparing the earth, that is included in Meleches Choyresh. V'gam kavonos lehashver gumois, and that's really now the key words, that all similarly, when you are preparing the earth for planting, what you're going to do is you're going to make it smooth and even. There's no way you're going to successfully plant anything if it's all upside down, his hills, rocks, slanty, uneven, it's not going to work, it's not going to happen. Part of the plowing process is to straighten up the earth. And that's Loshna Gemara, and Loshna Poiskim is Lahashvois Gumois, to literally means to make even the holes. Lahashvois Gumois, to make it even. To make it straight and nice, Kedeshi Amokim Shove, for the place to be even. Lochein, therefore, Hachoyfe Basalde, somebody who plows in the field, Oisha Osachritz, who he made a groove, indentation in the earth, Oisha Yosham Tail Cotton, or there was perhaps a little bit of a heap, Veishpilo, and he made it low, Oi Shoshamokim Namuch, or there was a lower place, Veishva Oisha, and he made it a bit higher, Chain, and similarly, Kolamashve Gumois, anybody who made the floor even, b'makim, in a place, haroi, lezriya, which you could potentially plant there, chay mishum choyresh, he's chayv on the av melach of plowing. In the brackets, v'moyo ze babayis, if you did that in a house, chay mishum boine, then you're doing boine. Shemesakin abinya ladeze, because then you are mesakin, you're fixing the house, which was uneven previously, and is now straight. For kol ma she'oy se'leap is a kaka, anything that you do, to straighten up and make even the nice the floor. Who toled is told us choresh is told of choresh v'chay becholchu and it's chay v'deraisa. It's still a chay v'deraisa. So,
in those days, sweeping the floor.
We're going to speak about sweeping in sieve base, and we'll discuss that. So, what would be the halacha if you're putting an animal? You have an ox, or and you're putting the Machresha, you're putting the plowing, what is it called? The plowing?
Trough.
Yeah, that thing that you attach onto the animals and they plowing?
Plow.
The plow, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Plow,
sorry, the thing you attach
on the
back.
Yeah. It's a plow. A plow. So if you attach the plow and the animal plows, the field, what are you oil on anything? All you're doing is you're pushing the ox once.
Yeah.
Yes, the answer is yes. You're a chayim v'deraisa. Because what you're doing is you're making the animal plow. So besides the fact you're oivon shviz behema, but besides that, for you to make the plowing that takes place is because of your action, and that's considered a melacha deraisa. Yeah. Now, okay, there is a discussion that what happens if you are, and that is a bit of a discussion, what happens if you are plowing let's say you're in a field which you don't intend, in fact, for that matter, nobody intends to plant anything in that particular area. It's, you know what, it's a field which doesn't belong to you, doesn't belong to anybody, it's like a bit hefkedik, you know, those council areas that nobody cares about, and you would like, and you are walking around there. Let's say, for some reason or another, you are stepping on or you're playing with the earth a little bit, and you are kind of like playing with the earth, which naturally is an action of plowing, but you're not purposely intending to plow. You don't care if it's plowed or not. You certainly don't care if it's being, seeds are going to end up there and it's going to be planted or not. Is this a problem, yes or no? Because it's not directly your intention to actually plant anything there or not. Does this make a difference or not? Is it Dainim Shem is Chavan, and therefore it's still Osmed Rabbanon. What would you say? It's Osmed Rabbanon? He's stepping on the floor. His action that he's doing, he's doing it because, you know what, he's just bored. He's waiting for somebody to show up. But his action that he's doing is an action of plowing and preparing. That's what the kind of action a person would do. He's like preparing, softening a little bit. But he's not intending to put anything in there. Would that consist the melach of Zerea or not? It's a machloikas. It's machloikas. Some poskim will hold that Vozna is being quoted, and that although you personally are not intending to do anything, but since the melacha that what you are doing is lemaisa, effectively you are preparing this earth for Zia, so therefore that consists of melacha deraisa. As to whether anybody is going to show up and do it or not, It doesn't make a difference. You are doing a melacha of choyresh, and it's chayef. It could be that you're saying that enum is chavan. Yeah, it could be. So it could be because of that it's going to be. But in terms of the action that he's doing, it's a melacha of choyresh. Others disagree, and they say that if there's no natural intention of it, there's no under normal circumstances, nobody's going to end up planting anything there. Could be it's lacking intrinsically in melachis choyresh, and certainly with the rice that there's no melach. But it's and yes, yeah. Where are you reading? Which the Rambam. Yeah, could be. Yeah, the Loshna Rambam. It's true. The Diuk, you're 100% right. The Rambam is Meduyuk. Somebody who is preparing the floor for it to be. Somebody is making the floor even in a place which is Roy Lezriya, which could be that it's going to be. Even though nobody's going to end up doing it. But it's Chayim Mishum is Medereise. Yeah, one could certainly argue that this is Pshat in the Rambam. Okay, Dovos says the Shulchan Aruch in Seif Aleph. Dovos Sheinu Mischav and Muta. He's going into an introduction saying that something that is not intended, it is permitted to do so. Vuhu, and it says Shaloi Psikresha. As long as it's not a Psikresha. So a Dovos Sheinu Mischav and is if you're doing a melacha and your intention is not to achieve this. Then it's Dovos Sheinu Mischav. You're doing it, but without intention. This is Muta. That is as long as it's not a psikresha. As long as it's not inevitable. Mishnah Berurah says, if cotton base, psikresha perisha bevata, te osa melacha acheres. He's certain that the other melacha will happen. If it's a psikresha, it's also. If it's not a psikresha, it is mutter. The example given in Shulchan Aruch is as follows. Hilkach, therefore, goyreir, a person is allowed to schlep, goyre oto mito, a person is allowed to schlep a bed, kisei a chair, besafsel a bench. Ben gdoilim, ben ktanim, whether they are big and heavy, ben ktanim, whether they are small and light, hubil vahat, provided, shalo yizchav v'nasachit, as long as the intention is not to make a groove. Umuta l'rabbe tzabais, kevin she'enu yizchav v'nashvez gumois, en lo shalo yale avok, and the person simply also allowed to, l'rabbe to sweep the floor, because the intention is not to make the floor even, that's not your intention, you only want to take, to dust it, and therefore it's permitted.
Why is the dragging example not psikresha? Because you're definitely
going to
make a...
Very good. So it's a very good question. Very good question, which the Achronim discussed. The answer seems to be that it is not psikresha because it's not. It depends on too many factors. We don't know how heavy it is. We don't exactly know the softness and the consistency of the earth. There's too many elements. Pardon? That's the word I was looking for. Too many variables.
If it was soft earth and a heavy chair, then it would be psikresha.
If it was
soft earth and a very heavy chair, then you
could, yeah. And since it's impossible to work out exactly, so therefore it's not. So if it is 100% sure, this is just so heavy, and the floor is so soft, it's for sure going to make a groove. It's going to be awesome because that's a psikresha. You are making the floor. You're working on the floor. You're plowing it to some extent, and therefore it is a psikresha. It's also, however, if you could easily schlep the floor and schlep the chair, and you don't know if there's going to be a groove or not. So then it's not a psikresha, and therefore shtov hashenim is chaven, and therefore it's going to be muta. You're allowed to do that, even if ultimately there will be a charetz there. Still, you did an action which is muta, and you don't need to do tshuva on that. So we learned this evening simin shin lamed zayin the aloch of kibud abayis. And we learned in the introduction of the Mishnah Berurah how you define a mecharisha, which is preparation for zriya. We also spoke about the concept of shenem ischaven and psikresha. We will go into greater details tomorrow in Mi'atzeh Hashem.